When you're invited to a wedding, you're standing there and you're watching this bride and groom. You know, she's wearing this beautiful gown and she's holding her flowers and dun, 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 they're going down. You assume what? You assume that they love each other, right? It's a normal assumption to have at a wedding. And you assume that they're committing their lives to each other. That's why they're spending all this money inviting everyone to come and eat and dance and party. And you assume it'll last, right? And it's a good assumption because that's what should happen. So why is it that if you went to 10 weddings in your life, 5 of them, they're not going to be married anymore? Okay, that's a lot. That means every 10 people you know, 5 are going to be divorced. That's horrible. Why? For the most part, if you ask people, and most people know someone who's divorced, if you ask them, why did you get divorced? So there's the rare situation where they'll tell you something really dramatic, like there was terrible abuse or something very terrible where there's very valid reason to get divorced. You're like, okay, I see why you got divorced. But in most cases, and again, I'm not throwing numbers at you, but in most cases, people tell you things like, well, we just fell out of love, we grew apart, we didn't see eye to eye, you know, he didn't appreciate me, or he didn't respect me, or I didn't have my space. Being the only married person in the room, I could tell you none of those things are shocking things that don't take place in a normal, healthy, great, wonderful, awesome marriage. You can be in a wonderful, committed, fantastic marriage and still feel for a moment or a day or an hour like, hey, he didn't appreciate that. Or you could disagree on something. Or you could, you know, feel, I don't know, just not in love right this second. Those are all normal things that happen in normal, healthy, great relationships. So what is it that kind of makes some relationships stick together and work and some not? So then we have to ask a question. We say, okay, it seems like we have a relationship crisis in our society. All these relationships, they obviously start out good because people want to get married and continue it. And somewhere or the other, we don't know what happens. We don't know why it happens, but it falls apart. Obviously, we're not doing something right. Okay? We all agree with that? What is it? I wouldn't presume to give you a one-sentence answer because it would be ridiculous. But we have to understand something else. Anything that you go out today to buy, and I'm talking anything, whether it's a little bushel of strawberries, a t-shirt, a car, a computer, it doesn't matter how big or how small, it comes with instructions and directions how to care for it. You buy strawberries, it'll tell you do not refrigerate or, you know, leave in ripe spot, and then you buy a t-shirt, it'll tell you, wash it inside out with cold water with bleach with light colors. Buy a car, it'll give you a big instruction manual in 17 different languages with all the features, et cetera, right? Everything from the most simple thing in life to the most complex comes with an instruction book, besides for one thing. Two people get together, miraculously something takes place, boom, there's a baby, out comes the baby. And I've never yet heard or seen that after the baby came out, a little instruction manual flopped out after. Like, mazel tov, it's a girl. Ah, here's the manual. Human beings who obviously are more complex and more detailed than the most vast computer system out there come, to best of my knowledge, right, with nothing. Out comes the baby, mazel tov, wrap it up in the blanket, give it to the mother who's like, what was that? You know, what just happened? And go home and figure it out. I don't know. Make the kid's life miserable. Who knows? What are you supposed to do? So if you grew up in a big family, you might know, okay, you need to change them bottles. If you grew up with one or two siblings or you're much younger than them or you were never around them, you really don't know what's going on. And it's very nice that the nurse, you know, in the hospital will give you a few minutes of, like, child care instructions, but it's just not the same thing. So kind of if you look at that, you're like, okay, there's something weird here. We have people. They're born to other people. And not necessarily do those people who give birth to this child have any clue how to raise it, what to teach it, how to show it, how to have healthy relationships, how to show it, how to make the most of their life, how to use their potential. So it seems like, of course it's going to be a big mess because we don't really have an instruction manual. I bought a camera recently and it came with this really big hardcover manual from Canon in 100 languages. And I was like, look, okay, there's no way. I don't have time, patience, energy, whatever, to read this manual. So I basically opened it up. I found the first few basic pages on focus, hold it down halfway, click shoot, and all the other features. I figured, look, like right now I could get a decent picture. So once in a while it might be a little blurry, you might get a red eye, it might be a little bit out of focus, but more or less for the most part my pictures are fine. In other words, they serve the purpose. I get pictures of my kids, they look cute, it's great. Now if I was a serious photographer, that would not be good enough. I would need to know how to use every feature, every picture would have to be perfect. But I'm kind of more or less satisfied that my pictures are okay and I didn't have to spend hours reading and testing and playing with each button. But that's my camera. With my relationships, I don't want to have red eye from crying. I don't want to have out of focus, you know, can't communicate issues because I didn't read the manual. So what's the deal? And before I even answer that, why would people want to get married anyway? We live in the year 2007. Tell me why people should get married today. I'm a Martian. I just got off a little, you know, flying yellow submarine. I landed here and I don't know anything about your culture. And I'd say, okay, you do what? Married? What's married? Why do you get married? What's the point?
I personally don't believe that it's the best environment for a child to grow up in, say, in a single-parent home or in
a... Well, what if it's not a single-parent home? There's a man in the home and there's a woman in the home and they're both raising the kid and they're both good parents. They're just not married. It's not unheard of today, is it? So give me the top four reasons why people get married. So we should get married because it's going to be harder to get out if we get married. You're going to have to hire a lawyer. You're going to have to cost money to make it more difficult to get out. There's basically more or less four reasons why people would get married, each of which have a validity to it and each of which also don't. For example, we get married so that we could live together. Between me and you, how many people are doing that well in advance, before they're married, often, whoever, however, right? So you don't need to get married to do that. But it used to be that way, or maybe it still should be that way, I don't know. Second thing, as Jana said, we want to raise children, which again is a good reason to get married, but then again, you could have people who can raise children and be good parents without necessarily being married. Then you want a commitment. But on the other hand, what's the point of a commitment? Just to lock us in so if things don't go right and we want to get out of it, it's going to cost us more money to make it more difficult to get out of it. Like, what's the point of a commitment? And number four, another reason why people usually get married is to make it official. So you can't just write a little note in the newspaper, say, Mazel Tov, it's official. Do you need to hire the caterer and the band and serve gazpacho soup on Mall of China to make it official? So all the reasons, and there's plenty more, but those are just a few. To live together, to have children, to be in a commitment, to make it official. Those are all, to a certain extent, good reasons, but to a certain extent, it's just not enough. Because, as we see in our society, you can have kids without being married, you can have fun without being married, so what's really the purpose? So to answer both of these with the same one answer, the first question being, how could it be that human beings are born with no instructions? We don't know what our buttons are. We don't know what our functions are. We don't know how things work. We don't know what to do, what not to do. So, of course, we're going to mess up. Just like my pictures, right? My camera. And the second thing being why get married in the first place. The answer is that God wouldn't create a world where there's people and they're just born and there's no guidebook. It doesn't make any sense. My T-shirt and the label tells me what to do with it. So a kid's not going to come with directions how to raise it. And the answer is there are directions. However, people usually look at the directions the same way I look at my instructions for my camera. First of all, so long. It's so detailed. It's in 100 languages. I can't be bothered. Let me just read one or two, and I'll fumble around, and I'll work it from there. So what's the guidebook that we're talking about? The Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah is actually, if you want to bring it down to a very basic definition, it's a guidebook, an instruction book, or a direction book, for human beings, how to best develop yourself, the relationships you have, be a fulfilled human being, have a meaningful life, serve your creator, be a good citizen, a good family member, a good parent, a good child, all the different things that it means to be a human being, a friend, mother-in-law, all these things. The Torah tells you how to do it. Do this, don't do this. It gives you full details. So what do most people do? The ones who actually agree that this is the instruction manual, not like, oh, you sure? I think that's the Sony edition. Now mine is a canon. I'm not going to read that. So I'm saying the ones who actually are like, okay, the Torah is a guide for my life. Let me look. Most of us are quite discouraged. It's big. There's a lot of details in it, a lot of information. I don't even know if it all makes sense. If you believe that God created us, just like you believe that someone programmed your computer, you have to believe that he knows or she knows what the program is and what needs to happen and what buttons need to be pushed in order for the thing to function. Right? I'm not going to sit there and question the functions on my computer. Well, why if I push enter, is it going to make a space? No. I'm going to push Z. Is it going to make a space? No, because that's not how the program runs. So most of us, our problem is just even in the beginning, there is a program for us. God tells us specifically what's going to make us work and function and tick as a good human being, as a good woman, as a good wife, as a good mother, as a good neighbor, all these things. But most of the time, we question if it makes sense. So it's too many details. Don't bother me. I'm not interested. So as I said, with a camera, that's fine, because more or less you could get okay pictures without really reading the whole thing. And the truth is, more or less, people could live relatively decent lives without reading the Torah. They, you know, fumble your way through, and I'm not going to stand here and tell you if you don't, you know, read the Torah and study the Torah, you're doomed to be a miserable person. That's not true. People can have a pretty decent life without ever having read the Torah. They could have a decent relationship, a nice, you know, interaction with people. They could be a good Samaritan, a volunteer in this group and that organization. However, the question is, do you want to have the best picture you could have? Well, then you need to know all the functions. Or are you just satisfied with okay? So I would say that most people would think, you know, with my pictures, it's not so important. But with my life, I really want to have the best tools possible to access the best blessings and the smoothest path. So, you know what, maybe I should find out at least what it says and how it's supposed to work. So that's kind of the instruction manual that we have. And then to take that into why get married, right? So four most prevalent reasons of living together, having kids, being in a committed relationship, and making it official really don't hold water unless there's something more to marriage. And according to Torah, why do people get married? For all those reasons, but for number five. Number five is more important than all. To take a regular guy and take a regular woman and put them together, you hope things work out, but if you put them under a chuppah and they get married in a legal, kosher, Jewish way, automatically the divine presence rests on that relationship, and automatically there's something special and different and holy and sanctified about that relationship, and automatically it has that much more chance of being a successful relationship. Doesn't mean that it's always going to work, which is why, unfortunately, you still do have relationships that fail even in traditional Jewish weddings, but it's much, much, much smaller. And the reason for that is because if a guy and a girl are committed to each other and they want to get married and they love each other, but they also recognize there's something more than just me and you, something more than just what I want in life and what you want in life. There's also a God, and he's our creator, and he also has a plan for us as a couple and not just, you know, as individuals, then automatically it's a whole different relationship. There's something special, unique, and different. And you're that much more likely, when you have God's blessing and God's invited to be a third partner in this relationship, you automatically have that much more chance for success. And that's really why a Jewish wedding and all the details that go into a Jewish wedding, preparation for a Jewish wedding, the customs of a Jewish wedding, all the symbolism, all the things that you just think are, you know, just because. Like, why does the groom circle the bride? Why are they holding candles? Why does he put a ring on the finger? Why do they break the glass? Why do they? In other words, all the customs, if you've been at a traditional wedding and seen them, they're not random. They all teach us a really important, significant, and beautiful lesson to our lives and our future ahead of us. The most obscure custom. Why does a chuppah four poles? Why is it usually done outside under the sky? And why is there circling around? And why, every little detail has unbelievable richness to it. And it sends them off into their life with the tools and the power of more than just the two of them. They have that godly element that surpasses anything.